It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Yes, good to be here.
Hey, this week we are going to talk about something that's definitely one of your areas of expertise, and that's how to help struggling marriages. And you want to help people strengthen their marriage with some interesting ideas this week you wanted to share.
Yeah, marriages, Mark, they're still in trouble. You know, we've been at this for years and years.
Yeah.
We still have the same trouble. So I was going to entitle this Rescuing, but I think Strengthening Your Marriage is a better title. This also applies, though, to individuals' lives, because these same principles are ways of strengthening your spiritual walk. And as I tell couples that I meet regularly, weekly, with many married couples, these things aren't easy, but they're pretty simple. Biblical principles, very simple, and there isn't another pathway. There's not an alternative to doing these things. This is the only path forward. So although they aren't easy to do, they're simple to do, and the alternative is we just stay where we are, and kind of the marriage can dry up, it won't get better, it can get worse, or some couples just find a way to live with their misery.
Just kind of coasting.
Just got to get along.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you said before we started that a lot of your clients are people who listen to the radio. You get a lot of your clients from people who listen to the radio.
Right, yeah.
So they're listening to lots of programs and lots of content, lots of information, but it kind of grieves you that not really applying any of it.
Yeah, we do have to apply the things. And people, when we're in sessions, you know, and I'm giving people tools to work with, and then, you know, we'll meet the next week and the tools haven't been applied. And if the tools aren't applied, then they're obviously not going to make a difference. You know, we can have great tools, but if we don't put them to use. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say my wife runs into this in the teaching piano.
It's sure.
kind of the same
yeah.
idea,
yeah.
you know. If they're not practicing between lessons, they don't get anywhere.
They've right.
got to have some. They've got to be practicing these things between lessons.
Yeah, that's
or,
right.
Or they just kind of stay stuck.
Now, one of the things that we've talked about before, and you know, couples can get to a place, and I see this quite often, where they've let things go so long that they just don't like each other. And some people sometimes. I mean, I talked to a man years ago who had been married for 20-some years, and you know, one of the first things he said was, there's never been one thing in my marriage that I've liked about this other person. So it's hard to believe.
How many years?
20-some years. And it's hard to believe, but and maybe that's not true. Maybe he was just, you know, not remembering the better times.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously they got married, so there must have been something that he liked about this his wife. But so, you know, learning to like. So we've talked about that, and I talk about that with people. Again, there are principles that you have to put in place, and basically one of the key things, again, not easy, but there's no other path forward, and that is if you're going to learn to like someone, you have to intentionally look for things to admire, things to enjoy, and you have to refuse to see the bad, which doesn't mean you just sweep problems under the carpet. You address those things, but you're always looking for the things that you appreciate about the person. So that can take some discipline.
Well, the Bible also says, uses the term, love covers a multitude
absolutely.
Of sins.
Absolutely.
And we got to do that. Because if all you focus on is the negative stuff about somebody else, you'll never make it.
So there's a concept that I've been working with for the past few weeks, and partially I've been reading a lot of Hugh Ross. You know, he's an astrophysicist, and maybe the listeners.
And you apply that to marriage counseling?
Well,
astrophysicist?
Spacey, and astronomical problems. One of the things, you know, the principle of entropy, that is, you know, he just changed decay. And I've always thought of relationships as being either or individual lives as being an open or closed system. Mm. And so this thought came to mind of inhaling and exhaling. And the idea of you have to inhale and exhale. The idea of inhaling is getting Getting new information into the system. And we can do this by personal interests. You know, they can be a variety of things, but I have to be bringing something into the marriage. And we talked before the show, this can be macro or micro. We can talk about individuals bringing something into their marriage and then a married couple bringing something into the body of Christ, say, for example, things that they're learning as a couple that they bring in and share, not necessarily verbally or not necessarily verbally sharing, but in the way that they behave, they share peace, joy, good problem resolution, those kinds of things. Mm. So we want to be inhaling. We want to be taking in. So some examples might be, first and foremost, obviously, I want to be growing spiritually. I want to be increasing spiritual insight, and that could be through scripture, meditation, exploration, you know, reading interesting things about scripture, history of Christianity, you know, studying different aspects of you know, biblical history, or the disciples, the apostles, or reading devotional books or spiritual books, podcasts,
hey, listening to the radio. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with intake.
Mm-hmm.
You need new ideas.
We need new ideas, and then along with that, you know, I say first and foremost, scripture, spiritual growth. But then, you know, in addition to that, you know, we have that Philippians 4, things that are true, things that are noble, just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, of good report, things of virtue, things praiseworthy. So many things that aren't necessarily connected with scripture or directly connected with scripture, but they make for interesting people, you know, in conversations that you have. Mm. So you've got to reach out. A lot of times I meet people who they say, I'm not much of a reader. And I remember reading a C.S. Lewis, I think it was one of his comments in one of his books years ago. I can't recall which one, but he said something to the effect of a man that doesn't read, or a person that doesn't read, lives in a very small world. Mm. And I had to learn to enjoy reading. And that's just one of the ways of inhaling. And then we have to exhale. We've got to have a venue where we express the things that are coming in. I liken this to a cooking, you know, for inhaling. Let's say I'm inhaling and I'm not exhaling. So the cooking analogy would be, you know, I'm the sort of person that I'm cooking something up and I just keep putting spices in. And I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm tasting from time to time, but I just keep putting spices in. And pretty soon, if you've ever done that, the dish begins to lose its definition. It's not going in any particular direction. Mm. And it just becomes like you can't really taste anything because you're tasting everything. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with like getting information, lots of information, but never, as you were saying earlier, testing it out, discussing it with people, you know, letting iron sharpen iron, letting your ideas be challenged. And so applicable to your life. On the other hand, if I'm just exhaling and I'm not getting any new information, that would be like cooking a dish over and over and over with the same simple spices year after year after year. And after a while, again, you're not tasting it, you know, because it just becomes so common. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have to have both of those in our lives. And so that was for a married couple, you know, if your marriage has become mundane, you need to remember that inhaling and exhaling. You need to be, you know, as a husband, you need to be bringing some things to the marriage through reading, exploration, and discovery, and just just being adventurous. In many different ways. As I said, it could be hobbies, or it could just be, you know, reading. Or friendships that you have that are adding something to your life, and then you bring that to your marriage.
Well, yeah, my wife always tells me she's so pleased when she sees me going out and having lunch with a friend.
Yeah.
And that she's not threatened by, I think that's good.
Yeah, and then you come back and she says, well, how did lunch go? And
right.
then you are sharing maybe some of the things that were talked about during that, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, along the same lines, couples go to work a lot of times. Like, you know, it's the wife and the husband that both work. But maybe not. You know, maybe one or the other. Sometimes it's the husband at home taking care of the kids in our present culture. Mm. But, you know, how was your day? And, you know, tell me about your day. Mm. And which kind of leads us into the next point that I wanted to talk about in growing your relationship, and vulnerability is the key. And that's a word that kind of frightens a lot of people, vulnerability. I don't mean putting yourself in harm's way when I say vulnerability. It's surprising how subtle – there are some subtle ways and very simple ways that you can be vulnerable. I think in relationship, there's always some element of vulnerability if the relationship is going anywhere. So people say, well, you know, I have to trust in order to be vulnerable. But it's kind of a left foot, right foot. You have to be vulnerable in order to build trust. And how do we demonstrate that we're vulnerable? And I've got some ways down here like sharing, listening, empathy, serving. If you're sharing an experience or a concept or an idea with your spouse, you are somewhat vulnerable because that could be rejected. So you're sort of putting yourself out there to share. And the other person is vulnerable in listening because one of the things empathy is, for example, definition of empathy is having a physiological response to someone else's experience. So if, say, for example, my wife is telling me about something that's that she's learned or experienced during the day, I can either concentrate and contemplate what she's saying and let that enter in, and I can and have an effect on me, or I can put a filter on that so that I'm not really paying attention. Mm-hmm. Or so both sharing or listening can be ways of being vulnerable. Empathy is a way of being vulnerable, letting that person's experience actually have an effect on my life. Mm-hmm. And serving are ways of being vulnerable. So when we talk about vulnerability being the key, again, I'm not talking about being content in an abusive relationship or putting yourself in harm's way, but sharing, listening to the other person. You know, when you share and you listen to another person and you're empathetic, it adds value to the relationship. You value the other person, and that's how you build trust.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you build trust.
Okay, looking at strengthening your marriage this week, some tips on this from Daniel. Daniel does a lot of marriage counseling, and if you're struggling in your marriage, maybe you know somebody who is really going through a tough time and they need some input. Daniel would love to help you or that person you know. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find many podcasts, years of radio, offices, Kirkland Edmonds, and doing a lot of virtual these days.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and Daniel, looking at ways to strengthen your marriage this week, kind of a refresher course. Daniel does a lot of marriage counseling, and we'll mention again how to get in touch with him here in a few moments. You wanted to move on to kind of a heavy idea, but how the law of sin and death works its way into our relationship.
Yeah, well, Paul talks in Romans, that whole book is about that kind of that struggle. And as I was saying during the break, I grew up in a Christian home and just assumed for a long time that once you become a Christian, you're no longer under the law of sin and death. Mm. And positionally, we're not under the law of sin and death. We're under the law of life in Christ Jesus. But in our daily walk, we keep stepping back under the law of sin and death. And so the reason that is pertinent to this topic is because these marriages that struggle, they're full of strife. They have anxiety. They have depression, arguments, anger, and sometimes addictions, which are just, you know, pleasant distractions from responsibilities and turmoil. Mm-hmm. And where does all the where do all these things come from? And I have begun to realize in my life that when I experience those things, anger, depression, anxiety, et cetera, when I experience those things in my life, I'm actually living under the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. All these things of strife, and as I've mentioned, anger, anxiety, depression, addictions, whatever, all these things come from fear and shame. And we've talked so many times about fear and shame on this show. Fear, those are results of sin. Fear has to do with my mortality. It's about my feeling safe and secure. It's egocentric, selfish. And shame has to do with worth. And worth has to do with comparing myself with other people. And so when you're as believers, when we are experiencing anxiety and depression and anger and caught up in addictions and argumentative and so on and so forth, worry, all these things mean that we have stepped out from underneath that covering and we're actually living under the law of sin and death as though the life of Christ is not powerful in our life. So that's just a heads up. You know, when we feel those things, that's not part of the life we're supposed to be living. We're not supposed to be under the law of sin and death, where we have anger, anxiety, depression, addictions, strife, and arguments. We want to pivot and step, make sure that we're living in under the grace and the law of life in Christ Jesus. Mm. And so how do you make that pivot? Well, simply, you know, you rather than buy into the kind of narrative that's driving this anxiety, depression, strife, you know, which has to do, that narrative has to do with being afraid and being and having shame, comparing ourselves with other people and having expectations that that are unrealistic, not being satisfied or delighting in the Lord. Now, these things sound almost idealistic, but they're not. These are the things that work. And as I said earlier in the show, they're not easy, but they're quite simple. And there's just, frankly, no other path forward. Mm-hmm. But let me get on to fellowship, because this is one of the things that's important. We talked earlier about inhaling and exhaling. And if you didn't catch that part of the show, go to the BibleBasedCounselor.com sometime later and catch the podcast. Talked about inhaling and exhaling. And one of the ways we exhale and inhale is through fellowship. You know, we get information from Christian brothers and sisters, and then we share out of our own experience. And so that
not just fellowship between husband and wife. You're talking about the husband and wife as a unit going in fellowshipping.
It's both. Mm-hmm. It's sharing, the husband and wife sharing together, but it's also as a unit being involved in a body. Paul tells us in Ephesians that the body is edifies itself by that which every joint supplies. A joint being a union of two members. And so marriage is the perfect example of that, according to the working of the Holy Spirit in each individual. So the Holy Spirit's working in husband and wife, bringing them together, and then as that joint, you know, as that relationship, they also edify the body of Christ.
What happens to people who don't fellowship? It's just you and me, babe, and we're against the world, and they don't seem to have any real need of fellowship.
And the world gets smaller. You know, we've talked about that. Their world gets smaller. Your world is either getting larger or smaller, and that could be as an individual or as a married couple. Your world is either getting larger or smaller. It doesn't plateau off. If you're not pursuing relationships and challenges, then your world is getting smaller. And as your world gets smaller, you find yourself going back toward things like depression, anxiety, hopelessness, anger, addiction. So when you find yourself increasing in arguments in your marriage, or depression, anxiety, addictive habits, you know that your world is getting smaller. you're not pursuing relationships, not only as individuals, but as a couple pursuing relationships in the body of Christ. Obviously, the husband and wife, when you're in the mix, like my wife connects with certain people of the congregation, women of the congregation, I connect with other people. And sometimes, you know, you've had this experience where two or three couples might get together and the husband, you know, connects and likes that mix, and the wife goes, well, sure, I didn't really connect with those. Okay. That's the way it is, you know, right. but we try. You know, mm-hmm. we try to integrate assimilate, and we try to share and receive from in those. That's the way the body of Christ grows.
So maybe not just going to church in a formal setting, but also a small group, like a small home group.
Yeah,
that might be even more of a resource,
particularly if the church is very large, mm-hmm. because you can go to that church. And I say you have to be close enough to be offended. You've got to be close enough to the body of Christ and members in the body of Christ where they're actually changing your life.
Mm. And so about people that they've given up on church because they are offended all the time? What's going on there? If they just always feel like I've been hurt too much at church and I'm just always offended.
Well, your world will just get smaller and smaller.
You've got to break through that.
You've got to break through it. And a lot of times I think that we get that way when we're paying attention to ourselves rather than paying attention to the needs and how we can serve others. We get in the kind of like chasing our own tail, you know, who's taking care of me and this doesn't feel good for me. And that's just the wrong focus. Again, that's a shame. That's an indicator of shame, because shame is comparing myself with other people, and fear is what's going to happen to me. So, you know, Paul said to Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and courage and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. So love is, you know, love casts out fear. What is that? Well, if I'm concentrating on and pursuing relationships and I'm concentrating on serving others, how can I be of service? How can I help? Then I'm not concentrating on myself. Mm. And there goes the fear and the shame.
You don't know that until you rub up with other people.
Right.
You're just kind of in your own world, your own bubble, and nothing you do or believe is being challenged.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. So fellowship, you know, even pastors, I think, sometimes don't get enough of that kind of fellowship. They're kind of like sometimes in their own world until like Sunday they're exhaling in a sense. But, you know, sometimes you see pastors, good pastors, you know, step sideways, go sideways and make a bad call. And some of them are very serious. And how can that happen? Well, a lot of times it happens because they're not in enough fellowship. So, God uses horizontal relationships to perfect us, refine us. I say judge us, and I don't mean past sentence, because judging has more to do with seeing if things are level and plumb. And God uses Christ to judge the church. He lines us up with the life of Christ, and he uses horizontal relationships to do that.
And, pick not fruit inspection, but people get to sample the fruit of your life, and if every time they take a bite it's sour and awful, then how are you going to know that that's the reaction I always get. There must be something going on that I need to work on.
Yeah, and I've got some be honest here, I've got some pet peeves that kind of come out in the church that we go to. And, you know, God uses other people to kind of sand those areas down a bit, so unless we're out there getting our toes stepped on or stepping on other people's toes and learning from that, and that's one of the problems with virtual church. If people are just going to virtual church, it's too easy just to listen to it and turn it off and not be interacting with the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we find hard to do as married couples is pray for one another and pray with one another. And again, vulnerability comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something, again, it's not easy, but it's simple. And it's something you just have to push against your resistance and do that. And if you will pray for one another and pray with one another, you'll find yourselves coming together because God will use those prayers to challenge you. It's very difficult to talk to God and try to hide something at the same time.
You pray can't with each other as couples, but also pray again with friends and family in the mm-hmm. body of Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, we've talked a lot about the inbox in various shows. And so a lot of times, I'll talk to married couples and they'll have an issue. Let's say, there's a lot of anger about money. Somebody's got control over the money or somebody's not doing their share of things at the house. And so what I want to challenge people to do is you look at your inbox, look at the stressors in your life and be, first of all, analyze that. Look at what's the real source of the stress. Maybe it's not the money. Maybe it's not the chores of the house. Maybe it's something else that's the real stress, and it's just overflowing into these other areas. And so you've got the sense that your partner is not contributing in some way. And there could be some truth in that, but maybe the central problem is something else. So you need to analyze the inbox. You need to organize it. What do I need to take care of here? And then you have to take responsibility for that. Now, we've done shows on the inbox, and when I'm counseling people, I talk a lot about the inbox too.
Yeah, some of those shows available at your website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Yeah. People are intrigued by your approach to some of these subjects, how to strengthen your marriage, some tips on succeeding in marriage. People need help for their marriage. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. The website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find the podcasts. So I have offices, Edmonds and Kirkland, and I do an awful lot of virtual these days as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.